Holy Spirit, the abiding presence of God is your roadmap through this world. How do you know you're in the way? Well, you're in Yahweh. You're in the Prince of Peace. The manifest presence of God will lead you and guide you into all truth. Holy Spirit will lead you in all truth, obviously, yeah, but you follow the peace of God. You follow, what is it to follow the Spirit? You follow the principality of peace. You follow Jesus himself. You follow the Holy Ghost. Whatever he's doing, whatever he's put his finger on in your life, where there's, you just do that and the presence of God manifests. That's what you're supposed to be doing. That's doing good works. Because it's, whoa, Shabba, you want to do some good living works? Just let God do the works through you. Shabba, Holy Spirit. Wow, I didn't expect that. Hallelujah. Yeah, the presence of God is your roadmap through this world. If you want to know how to overcome the world, just by faith step into Jesus who overcame the whole world. And let him overcome the world through you. Hallelujah, because you are dead. You're crucified with him. Nevertheless, you live because you're raised with him into glory. We've been translated into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God. All of our resources come from the Father of lights. He's the Father of lights because he's made you the light of the world. You know, hallelujah. Shining that light of God through your spirit. Into the world, because it needs the light. It needs to drink. I was driving. It needs to drink in the light. I was driving this morning, just dropping off my kid to school, and wow, it was a wonderful sight to see how the clouds, almost like the clouds were just hiding the sun, and then all of a sudden the clouds just like opened up and let the sun pour right through the clouds, and the sun just, this ray of light just went across the world. You know that we're the cloud of witnesses, right? The Son of God will rise with healing in his wings to heal the whole earth. There'll be a new heavens and a new earth. You just got to open up wide, fling wide you heavenly gates. And the King of Glory is going to come into the earth realm and just, it's like having light out of this world. Just bringing warmth and bringing growth. You know, plants can't grow without the sunlight. How much more the Son of God growing up, you know, us, his trees, his oaks of righteousness, you know, the planting of the Lord, the blind guy who sees the trees. You know, Jesus opens his eyes and I see men like trees. Well, that's because we're supposed to be like our Father in heaven. You know, Jesus is the tree of life, right? What do you think we're supposed to be? We're supposed to be life-giving spirits just like Jesus. His life coming through our spirit. Bringing life to the world. You know, if we're supposed to have, you know, the fruit of the spirit popping off of our branches, that makes us what? Like a tree of life? He's the tree of life, but we're in him. And it's his fruit. We're just like, it's not us living, but Christ living in us. And it's his, he's the one who manifests through us, the fruit of the spirit. Hallelujah. So just follow that peace. Search for him with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your thoughts, all of your intentions of your heart. Everything we just do before him, in him, and him in us. Well aware of him. Seeking him. Just, you've already found him, but seek him more. Because there's so much more to be found within the rooms of God. Like, if, you know, in my Father's house are many mansions. Like, just, how many rooms are there in all those mansions? How many planes of reality can we explore? And, you know, like the book of Revelation says, like John was in the spirit and then he hears a voice saying, come up here. And then it says immediately, I was in the spirit. He's already in the spirit. He's going from depth to depth within the spirit of God. You know, it's one thing to see like the angels. It's another thing to see the Father. It's another thing to see Jesus, another thing to see the cherubim and the seraphim and the crowds of eight, you know, a multitude of people worshiping God. There's so much more. You know, if all that I've ever experienced of God is all there is, then I'm a all men most miserable. There's so much more. God even showed me in a vision years ago. I saw this doorway, and beneath the doorway there was a little, like a little puddle underneath the doorway. And I couldn't see behind the door, but I knew it was behind the door. It was in like an ocean, bigger than the Pacific Ocean, bigger than the Atlantic Ocean. An infinite ocean was behind this door. And I looked at this, the door, there's like a little puddle, like maybe 12 inches wide, like that thin, that narrow. And behind that door is this massive ocean. And God said to me, "That's all you've tasted of me. That's all you know about me, Chris. Just that little puddle there." And like, I mean, I've seen a lot. Power, prophetic anointings, like, I feel the peace, I feel the glory coming on, and seeing the Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, angels, just reading the Bible, and it just explodes off the pages, and you just get sucked up into heaven. And that's all I've seen of God. What about Enoch? How much did he see of God? He saw so much of God that God, he just got sucked out of this realm right into glory. And he's still seeing more and more of God. The angels cry, "Holy, holy, holy," because they're having revelation after revelation after revelation of what God is like. God just keeps on unlayering himself and showing him deeper depths of his heart to us. To the cherubim and seraphim and the angels. And there's so much more to God. So you would do well to follow the peace of God. You know, it's the, like the law of first mentions or whatever, you know, in the Old Testament, in Israel, when they came out of Egypt, you know, Moses was leading them. Moses was a shadow of Jesus, you know, and he led them out of Egypt, which is symbolic of the world, sin and death and bondage. You know, they're in slavery to Pharaoh. Moses is leading out, and they're following the glory cloud by day, you know, and the fire by night. You need to be on fire for God, even in the dark seasons, you know. You don't flinch. And in the glory cloud by day, it doesn't say glory cloud, but it's a cloud. And if God is in it, God's the glory. So you're just following the glory cloud, man, following God. And if the cloud would rest by day, they wouldn't move. But if the cloud would move, then they all pack up and start moving. They follow in the cloud. It's like being led by the Spirit. You're following the Spirit. God's signs, God's wonders, God. You don't follow the signs and the wonders. You follow God, and they follow you. It's kind of like, whatever. You know what I'm saying, right? Hallelujah. You follow God, and these things will follow those who believe. That's what the Bible says, so I don't pursue signs and wonders. I pursue God, and he just leaves me in this state of awe and wonder. And I see all the signs along the way. It'd be foolish to, like, see a sign from God, like a cloud that I'm supposed to follow, you know, and just say, "Oh, that's just, no, I don't follow signs or whatever." I'm just going to ignore that, you know, like Moses at the burning bush. There's a burning bush there, but no, I don't know. My congregation, my church doesn't believe in that, so I'm not going to turn aside to see this grace sight. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, and everything will be good until I die and go to heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, man. He turned aside, and he had an encounter with the living God, and God transformed him so much so that he delivered an entire nation out of Egypt just from turning aside. He wanted God, right? That's the only reason. A sign points to something. God's over here. You know? You have the kingdom of God within you. All you got to do is go into the Holy of Holies, search deep inside your spirit, man, and there's God. He's right through the first love gate. You know? Go right into the first love gate and just, like, go jump right through the blood of Jesus into your Father's arms and embrace him and love him and just receive his love. And that unconditional love just overflows out through your being. So you don't have to conditionally love people anymore. You let God's love flow through your heart. Hallelujah. All right, so that kind of brings me to the thing that I wanted to talk about in this video. How do you deal with witchcraft? How do you deal with witches? I've had my fair share of them in real life, through, like, you know, face to face in the flesh, but in the spirit mostly, through my YouTube channel, Facebook. You can see right through them in the spirit. Like, when you walk by someone, you can just feel all the darkness on them. And that's called bondage. Anyways, there's this dude. Oh, this is how a lot of Christians probably deal with witchcraft. Okay, this dude was, like, a lot of prophets called him out. He was, like, a witch and blah, blah, blah. So, and he would show up to these meetings that I would go to. And he would do this weird stuff, walk around, and I wasn't sure if he was a witch or not, but, like, because, I don't know. God never revealed it to me. But this thought would go through my mind. Okay, he showed up in this worship meeting. He'd go to church, and instantly, the witch is here. Because, you know, all prophets called him out, and so I'm going to pray. I'm like, God, I break all this witchcraft. I nullify it. And I'm just like, I'm freaking out trying to stop the witchcraft. He's going to be cursing people. And I'm freaking out. I'm like, and this guy knows me. And I know him. Like, we've seen each other before in church and stuff like that. We even hung out before. And I don't know. I didn't know he was, like, a witch. This is what everyone says, though. So in my mind, I'm thinking, this guy's a witch. And so I'm rebuking everything in this fearful way. I'm praying in tongues as fast as I can. God, help! Help God! Help God! Bind all witchcraft! And I'm freaking out. And he comes up behind me. And I realize, like, all this prayer was useless. Because it was not out of a place of rest and faith. It was out of a place of fear. It's because I didn't know who I was in Christ. I didn't know who Christ was in me. This is a long time ago, like 10 years ago or so. And I'm just, and he comes up behind me. And he said this amazing phrase. He said, "You know what, brother? We need to love more," or something like that. "We need to quit being so judgmental and love each other," or something like that. I can't remember. He said something along those lines. And I stopped there, and I just, like, holy cow, that's true. Everybody's judged this guy as a witch. And I'm in the place where I don't know, but I'm in a fearful place. So I'm like, I made a conscious decision. Let's let the power of God flow through me, since I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost, and hit him. So I turn around and I gave him a big hug, and the Holy Ghost went boom and hit him. I felt it go up. I felt him go right through me, and I felt him go boom. Glory. Hallelujah. What happened? Perfect love casts out all fear. Let them have an encounter with the true power that is greater than any powers of darkness. Let them taste and see God for themselves. So I gave this supposed witch a hug. And that was the end of that. All that fear that was actually on me left. It's like, you know what? Perfect love casts out all fear. Cast it out with a hug. Hallelujah. So this person has the decision to make whether they choose to accept that love or just keep doing their own thing. All you do is you manifest the peace that you've received. And that perfect, like, God, like, Jesus is going to crush Satan under our feet. The principality and power of peace is going to come and crush Satan under our feet. Can't remember the exact scripture right now. But let me tell you some of the effects of that witchcraft would have on me. Like, for instance, something would happen, I would sin, and I'd feel this condemnation, like, for days sometimes. And what they do is they manipulate you. They come in, like, you'll feel something come on, like a heaviness, like the heavens are brass, you know, your prayers can't get through, God's not getting through, God feels like millions of miles away. Your thought patterns, your soul, it just feels like, Holy Spirit, help. It just feels like God's forsaken you. That's one of the biggest lies. Like, God's left me. I'm not holy enough. I'm sinful. And listen, it's probably because someone's putting witchcraft on you. Condemnation. Anything unclean. Like, you're tempted to do things, like, more than usual. You just feel the temptations to sin, doing all these wicked things. Well, someone's probably throwing witchcraft on you. Or it's just you got it in the flesh and you need more deliverance. But what I do, I used to get prayer from, like, my mom would pray for me. I would go to pastor to pray for me. And then I just learned how to fight myself. How do you overcome the world? Faith. Listen, all these condemnation things will come upon me, and I'll just speak the opposite. Like, oh, the thought would come, oh, I'm useless. God can't use me. I'm filthy. I'm a sinner. Blah, blah, blah. And I would speak those things out loud, and it would get worse, because I'm establishing what the demon wants. And then what you do is you speak the opposite. You don't feel the presence of God. God's a million miles away. You say, you know what? God will never leave me or forsake me. Holy Spirit said, I'm going to be with you forever. He spoke that as a prophetic word to me. Not through a human. He spoke that to me himself. It's even written in the Bible. You know, Jesus said he'll never leave or forsake me. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Neither angel nor demon, even lying spirits, they're liars. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is not just the scriptures. The truth is the person, Jesus Christ himself. You might say, well, I don't understand what's happening right now, God. I don't feel you, and I feel this condemnation. I know that condemnation is not from you. Conviction comes from you. Condemnation comes from the devil. So this is an attack on me. I thank you, God, for strengthening me with might in my inner man, in the spirit man, because this fight is in the spirit. You may think it's hitting your soul, your emotions are going on overdrive. You feel like the whole world is crumbling before you. And a lot of you, like, it probably, like, it is. So what you do is you step out of that by faith. God, crucify my flesh and my emotions. Put everything to death in Christ. And let the Spirit of God arise within me. Arise fresh. Break me through. Send a fresh anointing, God. Fill my heart. Fill my body. Fill my soul with your very presence, God. I may not feel like I love you right now because this enemy is messing with me, but I know deep inside my spirit, man, that I love you, and no one can take that away. I love you, and you love me, or else you would not have came to the cross to remove all this darkness from me. You know? Sometimes the most sincere prayers are the most powerful prayers. It's not how, if you use a King James dialect, these and thous. It's just like, you put your hand on your heart, you close your eyes, and everything's buzzing around you. Jesus, I just want you. Jesus, I just love you. I know you love me too. Jesus, thank you for your peace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to lead me into all truth. Thank you, God, for that your mercy is new every morning, God. I receive that mercy right now. Thank you, God, for the grace. I march boldly right now to the throne room of grace to receive power in a time of need, the power to come overcome all the flesh of the world, the pride of life, all the filthy things that try to tear me down. God, I thank you. Father of glory, manifest your glory now and just wash all this filth away from me in Jesus' name. And then just put on a CD and worship Jesus. Hallelujah. It's just by faith, stepping out of that darkness, out of those word curses, that witchcraft thing, you just throw it away and say, that's not my Father. That's not the will of God. That's not the new covenant. Jesus took the beating so I can walk in freedom. Not freedom to sin, freedom to forsake sin and walk in the glory. Jesus took the beating. By his stripes we are healed. We are healed in our bodies. We're healed in our soul. It's our mind, will, and emotions. We have the mind of Christ. And we're healed spiritually. We've been translated in the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? You're following the peace. The principality. It's the peace of God that passes all understanding, all theology, all debates, all knowledge. The peace of God. It rules and reigns in your heart. He rules and the reins of your heart. He just pulls your heart this way, like, come this way, you follow him. If it's for some people, it's just to read the Bible out loud and the peace is there. That's what you're supposed to be doing. For some people, it's just worshiping with, you know, put on a CD and you worship God in spirit and truth. That's where the peace is. Then that's what you're supposed to be doing. For some people, it's creating songs, writing songs. That's what you're supposed to be doing. So for some people, it's making videos, you know, teaching, preaching. That's what you're supposed to be doing. For some people, it's praying for other people. It's just praying for them to come into the same freedom that you came into. Well, that's what you're supposed to be doing. That's following the peace, following the anointing, following the Spirit of God. But most of all, the most important thing that we could do as the body of Christ is allow God to rule and reign in our hearts. Allow God to flow through our hearts. Flow two is the more you give your heart to God, the more you'll see him come through it. You give your heart to God, so it's God's heart. He can use it whichever way he wants. You give your body to God, right? You become the body of Christ. It's his body. If he wants to use his body to hug someone, to break witchcraft off them, or break witchcraft off of you, fear, whatever, then he can use his body whichever way he wants. Hallelujah. Well, so that's how I deal with witchcraft. I just speak the opposite. Get yourself grounded in the Word of God. Like, just read the Bible. Yeah, but read it with the mind of Christ. Read the Bible in the Spirit. Because it's a spiritual book. It's a relational book. The Bible is a book where you have to... It works in relationship with God. It's not just a historical book. Those words are spirit and life. And you can enter through those words into the spirit realm with God. You know, no man comes to the Father but by me, the Word of God said, Jesus, you know. You can enter it through those words into experiences with God. Hallelujah. Just ask God for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the Father of glory, to enlighten your understanding so that you can get to know him better. You know, don't read the Bible so you can debate and prove other people wrong. Read the Bible so that you can enter through the words and the Word of God can enter through you. And change whatever's not on earth as it is in heaven to make it on earth as it is in heaven by him ruling and reigning through your heart. Yeah. So, I don't know. I just thought I'd share that with you. You don't have to, like, be confused anymore. I've been confused. I know what it's like. And Jesus knows where you're at. Jesus knows where I'm at. And the easiest way to overcome all that stuff is just step into the overcomer by faith. You know? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Holy Spirit. Follow that peace of God. You know, when you're worshiping God and you feel that manifest presence, just tears run down your face, your heart explodes, you feel so alive. Because you're worshiping God in the Spirit and in truth, that Spirit and truth and God, that's who you follow. And the voice of another, you will not follow. So if someone says something to condemn you, and it feels like darkness is coming through them, just throw those words away. Those words will not produce life because they're veiled, they're like saturated in darkness. Do what Zacchaeus did. He sat in a tree waiting for Jesus. And then he broke through the press just to get up in a tree and wait for Jesus to come and call his name. We know that a tree is the cross, right? You just die to yourself, die to your plans, waiting for Jesus. Then Jesus comes along and calls his name. Zacchaeus, today I must abide at your house. He heard the voice of Jesus. So you don't stay on the cross forever. You die to yourself until you encounter Jesus. And then you follow him. Today I must abide at your house. So then Zacchaeus is just all jacked up because he's standing with Jesus. The life-giving Spirit. Hallelujah. He's standing with Jesus. And then just by being in the presence of Jesus, Zacchaeus is like, oh man, if I've ripped anyone off, I'll pay them back fourfold. I gotta repent. You just see the purity and the holiness of Jesus. You just want to make everything right. It's automatic because he's right with God and he is God. It's just like you want that holy purity, and it just exposes all your works of darkness. And you want that holy purity in your heart, Jesus in your heart. And you want to repent, push everything that brings darkness into your life, push it away, make things right. But the funny thing about it is, as he was standing there talking to Jesus, all the Pharisees around him, they were murmuring that Jesus has gone to be a guest with a sinner. See, they're trying to bring his past back, like Zacchaeus' past, because he was a tax collector. They're all murmuring, complaining, and just, oh, who's this, like gnashing. See, demons will always try to bring up your past. Pharisees, religious people, you're not qualified, you're not worthy, you're not holy. You're, you know, they're just condemning because they don't know any better. They need to be standing there right there with Jesus, like Zacchaeus. Why didn't they just step up there and, hi, Jesus, you know, wow, you're the Son of God, hallelujah. A lot of glory here today. But you know what Zacchaeus did? He didn't even pay any attention to what the Pharisees were mumbling, the religious leaders were mumbling. He didn't pay attention to them. Why? Because they had the words of life right in front, the word of God himself standing right in front of them. And that was enough. That's enough. It's enough for Mary. It's enough for him. It's enough for me. It should be enough for you. Having the living word of God speak to you himself. You know, Martha was distracted with doing all this stuff for Jesus while Mary just sat on his feet, just drinking in his words, drinking in his atmosphere of glory, drinking in that love, drinking in heaven, drinking in heaven's best. And Jesus, like Martha was getting a little bit, you know, frustrated. Why isn't she helping me? Why isn't she doing works? And then Jesus, like, you know, says Mary has chosen the better part. It will not be taken from her. She sat at his feet and received. You know, because that's the best place to receive your blueprints. You receive what Jesus is saying and then you go and do. It's one thing to do something for Jesus that he never asked you to do. And those are usually called dead works. But when he speaks to you personally, tells you what to do, and then you do that, you'll be rewarded and promoted and go to the next level of glory. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry about doing dead works because the Spirit does the works through you. Oh, Shabbat. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your peace, God. Thank you for equipping everyone who's pressed play, who's listened to the podcast, that you'll just equip them right now with power from on high and fill them with your Spirit. I just break all witchcraft off of them, all mind sorcery. Every temptation to do evil things and sin, just be broken off you now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be free. It is for freedom that you have been set free, that Jesus has set you free. Freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's no eggshells. And if there's eggshells, trample them under feet. Hallelujah. If you feel eggshells, like, oh, I can't lift my hands, I can't even pray in tongues here because everyone's going to get offended, you know, just trample those. What are they going to do? Get mad and then just, like, tell you, you can't be free here. It's like, well, freedom is an inside job. I didn't know I had to go outward to get freedom. The kingdom of God is within me, and it's for freedom that Christ has set me free. Hallelujah. Let's just enjoy the peace. Let's enjoy the freedom. You can be agitated if you want, but like, man, you look like you need some peace. You want me to pray for you? Hallelujah. Wow, I got Jesus flooding through my heart. I think you need that. You know, lose the eggshells, man. Hallelujah. He's given me shoes, the gospel shoes of peace to trample eggshells. Glory to God. Oh, helmet of salvation. That's the mind of Christ flooding through your very being, bringing whole, making you whole. I wish above all that you would prosper even as your soul prospers. Soul is your mind, right? Mind, will, and emotions. prosper. Prosper with the mind of Christ flooding through your mind, your will, and your emotions. Let Jesus just flood through your emotions. Let Jesus flood through your mind with the mind of Christ. And let His will be done, which is you just yield your will to Him. Not my will, but your will be done, God. I just give God your mind, your will, and your emotions, and you just like walk in that freedom. Glory to God. You mean I don't have to be bound by the demon in the atmosphere? Hallelujah. Greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. That atmosphere in the world needs the light of the world to come into it. Jesus is the principality of peace, you know? He's the principality and power of the air. You wrestle those things by releasing your peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. And their understanding will shift to like, whoa, God's real? Yeah, whoa. Like God is actually peaceful. I don't have to sit under all these rules and regulations. Nah, you don't have to sit under that. You need to sit in the Holy Ghost. You need to sit in Christ in heavenly places, man. You need to be seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all the eggshells and all the doctrines of men and all the doctrines of demons, all the forces of evil. It's just like God sits in the heavens and laughs. You can sit in the heaven and laugh with Him, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The kingdom of God is not word only, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's righteousness. It's His peace and His joy in the Holy Ghost. It's found in the Holy Spirit. He will never leave you or forsake you. Glory to God. Sometimes I just lay on my bed and I just meditate on God, and just so I meditate on godly things, and I feel the presence of God coming, and just, I let my imagination just run wild. Like I'm just like getting plastered in the Holy Ghost, talking to other people. Like just the other night, I was just laying on my bed. I couldn't sleep. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I'm just laying on my bed, just, God, I can't sleep. I'm just going to like meditate on some glory stuff. And then I'm just like up here at this guy's house, and we're just he's plastered in the Holy Ghost, and the atmosphere is there. Like we're just getting wrecked. Like it's a wide open heaven, and he's just laughing. He's like, we were talking about getting transfigured. You know, he's talking about how Jesus like transfigured in the book of Acts, and he's like a big ball of fire. I was like, whoa. And I started connecting it from the Old Testament. Like Moses was the reason his face was glowing is because he was a foreshadow of Jesus, who is the head. And the reason Jesus, when he went on the Mount of Transfiguration, all of his clothes started glowing, because he was symbolic of the body of Christ. We're supposed to be transforming, transfiguring, so that light of God can come out of the body. And like he was prophesying that his body is going to be life, just giving life to the world as the light of the world. And we just got plastered. We're just sharing all this revelation back and forth, and I could just feel I didn't want to go to bed after that, because we're just revelating and just percolating all this awesome stuff in our spirit, man. And that's pretty good, you know. Jesus, Moses was like symbolic of Jesus. Like Moses even said, there's one that's coming after me, you need to listen to his voice. He's talking about Jesus, right? A prophet like me. And that's why his face was glowing, because the head is prophesying that the head is coming. And a lot of people, they want to hide from him. You know, all the people, like, put a veil. So Moses put a veil over his head. And listen, that veil is taken away in Christ. And it's not just the head that's going to be glowing. The body needs to grow up into the head by feasting on revelation food. Feasting on the blood of Jesus, like just drinking his blood, eating his flesh, which is eating the bread of life from revelation. Scriptures are alive, but not just alive with just revelation. It's that intimacy place, that wine of the Spirit, where you just get so intoxicated on the love of God. Like a Song of Solomon chapter 5, you're just wasted. It's not a good word, but there's no other, like you're wasting all your life on God, but it's not being wasted. It's actually, that's what you're supposed to be doing. You're pouring your life into God. You're pouring your heart out to God, just like Mary wasted that perfume on his feet. She didn't waste it. That's what the Pharisees thought. Or what, Judas? Why is all this waste? You know, but she poured it out for his burial. She poured out that very precious, expensive perfume over Jesus' feet for his burial. And Jesus said that it'll be written that she will be remembered for this act. She poured out the most precious, expensive oil she had. I can't remember. Some people say it's like $100,000 for that oil or that perfume or so. I don't know the exact number. I'm not a theologian. I just love Jesus. That's it. And she poured it out. That's us today. Like, just like saying, here, I give you my most precious commodity. But like, it's one thing to pour out the expensive oil in the natural. It's like, it's your heart. You're where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That those expensive treasures in your heart, you pour it out to God. Like, God, you're so worthy. Just take all of this. Take all my life. Take all my time. Take all my mind. Take all my emotions. Take everything, God. Take all my problems. Take all my success. Take everything. Because you're worthy of, you've given everything to me, so I can give everything back to you with thanks. Thank you, great King. Thank you, great Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father of Glory, for life more abundantly. You can have your life, or you can have life more abundantly, which is His life brooding through your life as a surrendered vessel. Life more abundantly is His river of life flooding through you and washing away the filthy things around you. If you're the light of the world, shine. You know, you need to grow up into your head. And that's what, like, when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, his whole body, his clothes were shining. He's prophesying that that's what's to come. Remember when Jesus got baptized at the water? He came out of the water and the Father said to him, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Or what was it? No, it was another one of the scripture that said, he said, "Father, glorify your name." Yeah, that was it, I think. "Father, glorify your name." And then a voice came from heaven that said, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Listen, Jesus glorified the name of the Father. He manifests his natures on the earth. Because a name is its nature. You know, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Sid Canoe, or what, all those names, you know. He manifested every single name of the Father on the earth. "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." He glorified his name through Jesus, and he's going to glorify his name through you, the body of Christ. How do you know this, Chris? Jesus said, "He never spoke this for my sake, but for yours," right after he said that. He spoke this, the Father spoke that for the sake of the people who are around him. Because he's going to glorify his name through the people. The body of Christ, you know. It's going to be just like all those clothes that Jesus was transfigured on the mountain. You know, come up to the mountain. New Jerusalem, hallelujah. And just get transfigured. Just focus on the King of Glory. And the more you focus on him, your heart, your mind, your body, your soul, your emotions, that just like that, he just oozes through that. And you are the light. If you're the light of the world, his light is shining through you. That's my train of thought there. There's a lot of stuff going on in my spirit right now. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Ramashi Karabase. Thank you, Lord. Oh yeah, I was in my last video, I was talking about how the Holy Spirit took me through this path, and we saw these hills, on these houses on these hills. These houses had the same glory or life, this white light coming through them that was coming through his clothes. And it was like, it was the glory of God. It was the presence of God. It was the peace. It was just like God just shining right through his clothes. And it was shining right through these little houses that were on a hill. And then God said to me, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." It's time. It's time for us to just let God shine. Let God shine through our hearts, our minds, our wills, our emotions, our spirit, our even our bodies. If Moses' face could shine, if Jesus' whole body can shine, if when you're attached to your head, which is Jesus Christ himself, You're going to shine. Arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Arise and shine. Wake up. Be awakened by His love. And just let that love shine through you. He's powerful. The life of God awakening the whole world out of darkness. Hallelujah. Years ago, I had this vision, and I was marching on a horse, and I had this surrendered flag, you know, the white one where it's just surrender. And I'm on this horse, and I saw someone else on the other side holding the flag, a surrendered flag. And then it just turned into this big banner that read, Jesus. And I looked towards who we were running towards. There was all these faces in darkness. There was like a multitude of people just in darkness. And as soon as they would just look up and see the name Jesus, poof, this light would go poof, explode. Like the darkness would just shatter off of them. And they're just like, oh, they come into the, and I saw all these people in darkness just getting free just by looking up and seeing His name. It's not just the name. It's the substance of God coming through. We are for signs and we are for wonders. Let us be a sign. You know, if you're a living epistle, let the men in this world and women of this world read you and see that epistle of God written by the finger of God. You might be the only Bible that some people ever read. It's a living word. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Your life is a prophecy. Just like Moses prophesied the head that's to come, Jesus prophesied the body that's coming. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. You know, it's like you're not built with human hands, but you're a living stone built up into the temple. A living stone. We know that a stone is a revelation. David killed Goliath with a stone. Jesus is the cornerstone. The more we reflect Him, the more the people will taste and see God. The more when people look at you, they should see God in you. Christ in you, the hope of manifest glory. You want to kill giants? Like, Jesus is the stone that kills giants, man. You got to release Him through your gates. Just release Him. Hit Him right in the forehead. When David killed Goliath, right in the forehead, because that's where the enemy hits you, right here in the mind. That's why the helmet of salvation is your salvation. It's the mind of Christ. We've overcome the world by our faith, by the blood of Jesus and the testimony of Jesus, you know? Hallelujah. Help me, Lord. Yeah, it's really good. It's really good to get into the true gospel. You know, the armor of God is there for a reason. Wear it. It's not just intellectually putting it on. It's like, yeah, you put on the mind of Christ by spending time with Him. Put on the breastplate of His righteousness by faith. You walk in righteousness. Not doing your own things, but doing what He's doing. If you don't know what He's doing, stop everything you're doing and teach me, Holy Spirit. Show me what you're doing, God. Lead me by your Spirit. The Bible says that, you know, the sheep follow you and the voice of another they will not follow, Jesus. So can you please show me what you're doing? And that's just basics. Like, this is just basic walking with God, man. This is not super deep or anything. This is like shallow water stuff. You just follow the peace. Follow the peace of God, man. Oh, man, there's a lot of glory on that. Hallelujah. It's not super deep. He will lead you into very deep waters if you keep following Him, though. Listen, I'm just a toddler. I'm just a toddler trying to grow into my head. I got a long way to go. I don't intend to ever arrive to any place except for in Christ, and just let Him increase through me. Same with you. I mean, there's nothing that's more pleasurable in this world than just to spend time with God, and the things that He reveals is just like, oh, it's just like a beautiful treasure that you store in your heart, and when you release it, when the time is right, whatever, you know, hallelujah, Shabbat. So yeah, just follow the Holy Spirit. Follow the peace of God. And if you want to break witchcraft off of you, I showed you how. It's really simple. You just don't believe the devil because he comes to your soul with lies. And he'll try to fortify it with something that's sort of true, but yet it's not, because he's twisting the truth. Hallelujah. Like, you know, when he came to Jesus, if you're the Son of God, do this. Well, yeah, he was the Son of God, but he doesn't follow any other voice but the voice of his Father, you know? We're supposed to be the same way. This is basics, man. Hallelujah. Well, you know, let's finish it off. Let's just read this Jesus calling book thing. It's called Jesus Calling. Let me prepare you for the day that stretches out before you. I know exactly what this day will contain, whereas you have only vague ideas about it. You would like to see a map showing all the twists and turns of your journey. You'd feel more prepared if you could somehow visualize what it is on the road ahead. However, there is a better way to be prepared for whatever you will encounter today. Spend quality time with me. I will not show you what is on the road ahead, but I will thoroughly equip you for the journey. My living presence is your companion each step of the way. Stay in continual communication with me, whispering my name whenever you need to redirect your thoughts. Thus, you can walk through this day with your focus on me. My abiding presence is the best roadmap available. God bless your face. Stay blissed in the gospel. And listen, stay in the one who's overcame everything. And put all your thoughts, your emotions, put everything of you there. And you'll realize, like, this gospel is really easy. It's just like you just yield to the Holy Spirit and follow him around. And enjoy life. Enjoy life more abundantly. Grace on your face. Hallelujah.